Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we are discussing the pros and cons of the FIRE movement.
Joel, you know, when it comes to the topics that we talk about here on the show, we try to take into account the calendar occasionally, right? Like, we look at the different holidays that we celebrate here in the U.S., and sometimes if they can complement each other a little bit, that's a good thing. And so that's actually part of why we're talking about FIRE, which is financial independence, retire early. This weekend, we've got the 4th of July coming up. And not only are we going to celebrate our independence from British rule, but we're going to talk about our ability to have independence from our jobs and to be financially independent. So I'm excited to dive into this, man.
Yeah, it's an important topic. And the FIRE movement in particular has kind of had its detractors. It's had a lot of followers. It's gained a lot of followers in the past decade. And Matt, you and I are friends with a lot of people inside of the movement. I don't know if you and I are inside of it or not. We'll kind of get
On the fringes.
On the fringes. So yeah, we'll talk more about that in this episode. But yeah, I agree. Perfect timing while we're celebrating our independence this weekend as a country. But before we get to that, Matt, I wanted to let you know about, and let our listeners know about, a cheap way to travel that...
Yeah, you've got this travel note on here. What's this all about?
Most people probably haven't thought about this. And it's traveling by bus. So my wife and kids are going to go to Memphis to visit her family for a little bit. I'm going to go with them. But I have to come back to Atlanta for something. And I don't want to drop $150 on a round trip ticket. By the way, don't know if I want to get into an airplane right now.
True.
I was looking up Megabus tickets. I don't know how many people out there know about Megabus, which also, I'm not sure if I want to get on a bus right now. So all these things are really just up in the air at this point in time. But it was just interesting to note the vast difference, the disparity in the price between taking a bus or taking an airplane. And on Megabus, I was, instead of paying $150 or $160 like I would traveling in an airplane, I was going to get a round trip ticket for $15. And that's pretty sweet, man.
That's a good discount. That's 10 times less than your airfare.
Yeah, and internet on Megabus is free. You grab a seat, you kind of check out, you can pull up in your laptop, get a little done, take a nap, listen to some podcasts.
Does someone walk down the aisle and offer you a drink like they do on the airplane?
No, they don't do that. They don't do that. No service or anything like that. And I know it's not for everybody, but for me, man, I've done Megabus a few times. I think it's totally worth it. For people that haven't looked into any of the discount bus services that'll take you from city to city across the country, I mean, at this point, Megabus basically traverses, I think, the entire country.
Yeah.
So you could get to a lot of places. If you got a little extra time on your hands, you don't mind an 8-hour trip as opposed to a 2-hour airline trip, I would say, man, Megabus or some of the other discount bus lines are definitely something that you should think about when you're planning your travel.
Yeah, it's a great option if you don't need that convenience. But obviously, it's a great option too if you don't have a vehicle, right? And so if you're on a budget, you don't have a lot of money, traveling by bus is a great way to cover some long distances. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm not too sure if I want to sit on a bus, like an enclosed space.
Right.
You know, breathing the same air that these other people are breathing for 8 hours.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if I'm actually going to pull the trigger this time, but I've ridden Megabus before, and I was just like shocked at the disparity. Like, it's so much cheaper.
So affordable.
And obviously, it takes more time, and you're on a bus. Like, you're not on a plane. It's not quite as fancy of travel. But still, you're saving a whole lot of money, and so that definitely should put it on your list of things to research when you're looking at domestic travel.
And of course, don't forget the $1 seats that you can get, like, you know, the first few seats that they start selling for a specific ride, they sell for $1, which is...
That's kind of their claim to fame.
Even more amazing. But yeah, man, that's cool. I'm glad you are considering some creative ways to save money. But Joel, before we dive into this episode and we start talking about FIRE, let's go ahead and introduce our beer for this episode real quick. We are sharing a Fruit and Hops on the Bottom, and this is a collaboration between Stillwater as well as Hoofhearted Brewing. And Hoofhearted, by the way, their name is a kind of play on words. Those guys are pretty immature.
That's why I made you say it this time.
But they're pretty funny. A silly little brewery, but they make some really good beers, and I'm excited to share this one with you, and we'll share our thoughts on this specific beer at the end of the episode.
Sounds good, man. Looking forward to it. All right, let's get on to the subject at hand. Today on the show, we're discussing the pros and cons of the FIRE movement, and Matt, as you said, FIRE stands for Financial Independence, Retire Early. It's this movement of people that want to take control of their personal finances to the extent that they can quit their job, if they can retire much, much earlier than most people have ever even thought about. A lot of people in this movement want to retire in their late 20s or 30s or 40s, and this movement has really gained a lot of steam over the past decade. And the tenets of FIRE, Matt, you and I are all about a lot of the tenets that this movement kind of goes by. It offers a lot of wisdom for people who want to handle their money well. Yeah. A lot of those particular tenets, you and I kind of talk about on the show anyway. We just don't necessarily label it FIRE, right?
True.
And it turns out there was a 94% increase in Google searches for FIRE over the past 6 years. And I think they were searching for this FIRE, not the other kind. But
not the Chicago Fire.
Not the Chicago Fire, not how to make
MLS,
a fire.
MLS nod.
In the woods. I don't know. But yeah, this movement has just piqued some interest. And FIRE has become an easier message to convey, especially as our country was experiencing this long period of economic expansion, right? The longest bull market in history, that 10-year bull run. And the foundation of FIRE is based in a retirement portfolio, which is invested mostly in the stock market. And of course, that's grown like crazy for a lot of people until this most recent downturn. But because of that recent volatility we've seen, the FIRE movement has lost a little bit of its luster for some folks. So today, you and I, we're going to discuss the state of the FIRE movement and kind of our thoughts about it in general.
Yeah, man. So, you know, even though we agree with most of the tenets of FIRE, like any good movement, there can be side effects or, you know, negative consequences that can occur when something is taken too far, right? Just like with almost anything in life, when there isn't a proper balance, something good can easily become something bad very quickly. Like I'm thinking about bikes. You and I, we love bikes. There's lots of reasons why bikes are such a good thing. But you know what? If that's all we talked about, like we would just become those bike guys and people aren't going to want to be our friends anymore.
Wait, are we those money guys that people don't want to be friends with?
I feel like we have a proper amount of money in our life.
Okay, all right.
But you know, that's what we're going to talk about today, like the pros and the cons, what's good and what's not so good about FIRE. But before we go any further, you know, I do want to make sure we clearly define FIRE. And FIRE is achieved when a person can generate a stream of cash flow from accumulated assets that exceeds their spending needs. And in addition to that, they don't want it to take 40 years to get there, right? They are working on a massively truncated timetable. This is the essence of the FIRE movement, which, you know, has been able to create something unique and unifying. You know, I think that's part of its power is the fact that there is a sort of a community around this movement.
Yeah, man, I think you're totally right. There's something about the acronym of FIRE that really has garnered support and turned the idea of financial independence into something that people can buy into. And it creates this movement in this community around it instead of just a disparate group of frugal people scattered all over the place. And Matt, our former guest, Tanya Hester, she wrote a book called Work Optional, and that's her preferred terminology to refer to the FIRE movement. It doesn't have quite the ring that the FIRE movement has to it.
Doesn't sound nearly as dangerous.
Right, exactly. But I think her term actually does encompass the heart of the movement a little bit more. And I think it's important for us to say, too, that the FIRE movement is overwhelmingly good, right? It encourages people to save a healthy portion what they make. It spurs people to look for ways to increase their income. The movement is all about simple investing to grow your wealth for the long haul. And at the same time, the big guns in the financial writing space have loved to take pot shots at the FIRE movement. They love to smack it around every now and again. On one hand, millennials get trashed for buying lattes and avocado toast. And then on the other side, I feel like they get smacked around for having the audacity to think that they can save 50% of their income and retire before the age of 70. So even though you and I were not 100% FIRE people, I do get tired of seeing the negative headlines constantly surrounding FIRE, kind of wanting people in the movement and wanting the movement as a whole to fail.
By the way, avocado toast, is that something that you eat?
No.
Are you a fan of it?
I don't think I've ever had avocado
really?
Toast. Yeah.
Okay. The only reason I brought it up because I literally had it for lunch today. baby Weston, he didn't finish half of his avocado. So I took some of that and spread it on some of Kate's homemade bread. We actually recently talked about homemade bread, but
yeah. It's
hard to beat a perfectly ripe avocado with a little bit of mayonnaise, some salt and pepper, spread on some homemade bread.
You're so fancy.
Oh, dude, it's actually really good. I'm so millennial right now. If only it was sourdough, I'd be living the dream. But no, man, I'm with you. I feel like big media is kind of going after FIRE. It's something at least that they are drawn to for one reason or the other. But generally speaking, I think that frugality should be encouraged. You know, seeing people go beyond just the personal finance basics to max out their retirement accounts and to save an enormous amount of their income, that is just awesome. That increased savings rate puts you just in the driver's seat of your own future. But, you know, even though we do align with the FIRE movement in many ways, we're not all in. And so we're going to get into the nuances of FIRE. And you and I, man, we're going to share our thoughts on it right after this break.
All right, Matt, we're back. We're talking about the fire movement, the pros and cons. And I feel like we just kind of set it up nicely. We made fire sound pretty nice. And now
it's a good thing.
Let's take it down a peg.
That's been the next 15 minutes destroying it.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely not going to do that. But we will give kind of the things that we feel the movement has missed or the ways in which we feel like it's lacking before we flip the coin and kind of tell our favorite things about the movement. But one of the biggest things I think you and I don't love about the fire movement is that there's too much sacrifice involved often for individuals who adhere to fire. Often the fire devotees, they get tunnel vision, right? They cobble together a plan that's based on sacrificing an inordinate amount for a set period of time in order to achieve a lofty goal of retiring early. But it's hard to keep your nose to the grindstone for 10, 12, or 15 years working 60-hour weeks or picking up a couple side gigs in order to ramp up your savings to the highest level. Whatever your future fire life looks like, it's important to incorporate some of those things that you love now. If you want to travel down the road when you achieve fire, prioritize at least some travel now. If you're saying that fire is all about more time with your family, well, don't pass up on prioritizing family time now, believing that it's something you'll have more of in the future when you finally achieve that theoretical goal of fire, right? And I think that's one of my biggest reasons for not being a fire adherent is that you and I, Matt, we do want to prioritize the here and now, right? That's why we drink a beer on every episode. And sometimes that gets lost with the fire crowd, any semblance of enjoying life in the here and now while you're trying to be thoughtful about saving for the future.
Right. Yeah. And granted, not everyone that who is pursuing fire falls into this trap, right? But this is one of the biggest traps, is that they're too focused on that goal and they're not looking at the rest of their life. You know, there's no guarantee that those interests that you say that you're striving after, or like the relationships, like even your family, like there's no guarantee that they'll be there waiting for you. And so making sure that you're cultivating those things along the way is so important. It's so important to have that balance.
Matt, I remember reading on Reddit this one guy who posted about the fire movement and how it failed him. And he ended up losing this girlfriend that he loved because he wouldn't pay for a plane ticket to go meet her parents. And you know, maybe he should have looked at Megabus. There's other ways to get around. Could have done it cheaper. But that's one of those things, too, I think, that you have to be able to prioritize the things that are the most important to you right here and now. And if you have a decent savings rate, spend the money on a plane ticket to go visit your girlfriend's parents or whatever. I mean, those are the kind of decisions sometimes that fire devotees might make. And they risk losing out on things that are really actually majorly important because they're putting too much emphasis on their own future.
Yeah, well, specifically the money of their future, right? Because what they're not taking into account are the relationships of their future. But yeah, relationships are so important. And for me, that's one of the reasons that I can't say I completely subscribe to the fire movement is because of the time I want to spend with my kids, right? I could work harder, but like there's a stat out there and I wish I knew it exactly right. But essentially, the gist of it is that, and granted, this varies from person to person, but 90% of the time that we have with our kids, like total, is spent within the first 18 years of their life. Like once they move off, like you don't see your kids all that often because they have their own families, their own interests, their own friends, work, right? And so to think that by sacrificing especially time, you know, when you have younger kids, when you can make such an impact on their life, you've got to remember that you're taking a big bite out of that 90%, which is the overwhelming amount of time that you have with your kids at all, you know?
Yeah.
And so for me, I've always kept that in mind. It's like, man, I am how far along, you know, that 90% with one of my kids. Our oldest is essentially one third of the way through that 90%. That's kind of crazy to think about. And so relationships are certainly high on the list when it comes to things that you don't want to sacrifice. Another potential pitfall of the fire movement is that there's a lot of emphasis that's placed on just how work is bad, right? Like work oftentimes gets put in a negative light. And there are a lot of people inside the fire movement who are trying to combat this mindset. You know, I actually think of this as more of an outside perception, but still, it's in the name, right? Financial independence, retire early. Achieving financial independence far before your peers, it's admirable, but you know, quote unquote early retirement makes work seem like it's a drain, you know, and it's maybe something that should be ditched at the earliest possible moment.
Yeah, and not everyone gets the job of their dreams, like podcasting or whatever, right? But
we do have the job of our dreams, if you think about it. What if 10 years ago I told you that you'd be able to sit down with your best buddy, talk about personal finance, and enjoy like some of the best craft beers from all around the country or even the world?
I wouldn't have believed you.
You wouldn't have believed me. I know.
It's crazy that it's an actual gig, and I'm really thankful for it, for
awesome.
Sure. And yeah, I think that even if you don't have a job that is something that you would have been wowed by a decade ago, most of us at least find some sort of satisfaction in our work. And kind of that negative mindset towards work, the kind of view that, it's a slog just to get through so that you can reach the other side. We just don't think that's a great way to think about work. And so I think the antidote to that is to find fulfilling work, right? So instead of going as hard as you possibly can in order to quit work as early as humanly possible, be willing to make less and do work that you love instead. It might take you a little bit longer to reach that goal of financial independence, but you're going to be able to look back on those years where you were accumulating wealth in order to achieve financial independence with fondness. And it's important to ask this question too. If you're ditching work, what are you retiring to, right? If your only goal is to stop working, there's a high potential for negative side effects. There needs to be something beyond just the goal of retiring. Many of our friends in the FIRE space, they're not quote unquote retiring in the traditional sense. They are actually amassing enough in investments in order to pursue the work that they love. So we're all about this, right? If that's kind of the goal behind it. But sometimes I think that negative view of work can be a little soul crushing, and it makes that journey to FIRE actually really, really difficult.
Man, that is so true. And another potential consequence of the FIRE movement is that you might run out of money, right? If you quit too early and you're only hoping to amass just an amount to cover your basic expenses, you might run out of money. Like, we don't want to get too nerdy here, but it is very possible that you can overestimate how much you're able to pull out of your retirement account every year. A lot of folks go by the traditional 4% withdrawal rate, but that does not account for significant drops in the market like we've seen recently. When your retirement is based on your portfolio doing well in the market, none of us know what the future holds and what the market is going to do. So it's tough to be completely dependent on that without taking a more conservative approach. And then on the other side of the equation, let's talk about expenses. You know, have you seen how much healthcare costs have risen recently? Let's just say that it's a problem.
Understatement of the year.
Fidelity, they estimate that couples at normal retirement age, that they're going to need $285,000 to cover medical expenses alone. And so some FIRE folks haven't planned well enough for post-retirement expenses like healthcare. And it also makes it harder to change your lifestyle when you're living on a set income as well. There's just less flexibility there to what your options are.
Yeah. I think sometimes the FIRE movement, right, it does a lot of good things, but so many of the people that buy into it maybe don't have quite a big enough picture about what their potential expenses could be in retirement. And so it makes it easy to go into it naively, thinking that if you just hit that 25 times your annual expenses, you're good to go, quit your job. But there's so much more at play in the nuance, especially when it comes to withdrawal rates and medical expenses in retirement. I think you're completely right, Matt. And also too, the FIRE movement doesn't necessarily acknowledge very well the difficulty of getting back into the workforce. So if you do find yourself in a position where you need to become employed again, maybe you realize, oh crap, I didn't quite save enough and I need to go back to work.
Left a little bit too early.
Yeah, I need to get back in there. Well, leaving work too early is a move that could really come back to bite you. If you're out of the workforce for 10 years and then you realize that you do need to go back and earn more, it's hard to jump back in and get a high paying job. Chances are your skills are rusty and the dynamics and the technology have changed, making it less likely that you're a fit in that profession anymore. And plus, you could be wasting some of your most productive working years. I'm not saying that you should work until you're 65, no matter what. I think financial independence at an earlier age is achievable, but it's important to realize that if you haven't planned well enough and you do feel like you have to go back to work at some point, it's in all likelihood going to be much harder than you realize.
Or, Joel, it could be a blessing in disguise, and it might be way easier than you realize. You know, if I quit something and then had to come back to work 10 years later, maybe I would just like start to go work for a brewery, maybe a bike company.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you'd choose a completely different route as you re-enter the workforce. That's definitely a possibility. But Matt, we even found this out with our friend 5AM Joel, who was on in January, and he worked in the technology field in California. He decided to bag work for just a year or two, and then trying to re-enter the workforce, it's been a lot harder than he thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it is not easy. In particular, if you're trying to get back to where you were, right? Like, you know, it's maybe fairly easy to pick up any sort of entry-level job here and there, but to kind of resume your position, like, that's going to be very difficult. I agree. And one other potential downside to the FIRE movement is that it could put too much emphasis on ourselves. Sometimes I think that FIRE can make us a little too introspective. It doesn't have to, but it certainly can. That nose to the grindstone mentality that we mentioned earlier can cause FIRE folks to forego giving to important causes or generosity in general. And that's a problem because we believe that generosity is an important part of a healthy detachment from our money. And again, this is a general possible concern. You know, we have FIRE friends who are incredibly generous, but trying to amass a giant nest egg in roughly a decade or even, you know, less, that can cause us to live in a miserly manner that prioritizes ourselves to an unhealthy extent.
Yeah, if generosity is important to us, Matt, just like we talked about earlier, if travel is important to you and you say that's what you're going to do when you achieve FIRE, well, then you should prioritize at least some of that now.
That's right.
Same thing, time with your family. Same thing with generosity, though. If you say generosity is important to me, I want to give to local nonprofits that matter to me. I want to give to my church, wherever it is. If you say, yeah, I'm going to do that when I achieve FIRE, when I hit that massive nest egg and I'm going to be able to put that in my expenses then, I would say that's an unhealthy way to live. We should be prioritizing those things that matter to us now, even while we're on that path to financial independence, even if it delays our arrival at that point. So yeah, I think that's a really good thing to bring up. We don't want to be stingy. And sometimes that focus on having an exorbitant savings rate can cause that to be the case.
Yeah, man, we need to practice that habit of generosity well before we feel like that we've, you know, quote unquote, arrived. So we're going to talk more about financial independence, retire early, specifically some of the pros, some of the benefits of it. And we're going to get to those right after this break.
All right, Matt, we're back from the break. I feel like we just took FIRE down a peg. And you know what? We do have so many friends
in
the community.
Whooped up onto some.
We did. We gave it a little smack around. And a lot of our guests that we've had on the show are FIRE people because I feel like their voices are so important in the financial community.
Well, yeah. And again, just the viewpoints that they have on specific issues oftentimes align with ours. And so it makes sense that a lot of the people we like talking to are within the FIRE community.
Yeah, we hate the stock advice of like, save 5 or 10% of what you make. We think people should be shooting for more than that. And the FIRE movement definitely gets that right, that you should have a savings rate that goes far beyond just 10% of your income. And so yeah, let's expand on more of what we do love about the FIRE movement. So one of the first things is that FIRE does give you increased flexibility and control of your life. One of the biggest pros of the FIRE movement is that it allows us to not have to work for money. Though chances are, at least for Matt and I, we'll still work in some capacity because that's something that we love. And really, how hard is it to create a podcast while you're drinking beer? But achieving FIRE will allow us to do a lot of different things, like pursue whatever sort of work we want to do. And it means that we're not necessarily handcuffed to a job just to get a paycheck. It could allow us to volunteer more or travel more. Whatever it is that you love, it allows for more of that. And that's one of the things that we do love about the FIRE movement. We love about people having, you know, more money in their corner to create more flexibility and choice.
Yeah, being in the luxurious position of not having to worry about your income anymore, that gives you that flexibility and that control. Also, FIRE gives you a clearly defined goal. You know, a lot of individuals who are pursuing FIRE have a number in mind. Typically, it's a net worth that is oftentimes 25 times their annual spending. And, you know, when they have this much saved and invested, they've reached FIRE. Now, you know, this is just a rule of thumb, and we're not going to dive into whether or not, you know, we think that that's the best number to go by. But regardless, it gives you something to strive after, and it allows you to measure all other decisions in your life through this filter. It gives you clarity. And oftentimes, I think that's something that a lot of us are lacking, clarity and a sense of direction. You know, after you go through 12, 16, 18 years worth of schooling, there's a lot of our life where we haven't been making these hard decisions. You know, we kind of make one decision to kind of go this direction, and then we're just kind of fed assignments, homework. We're told what to do. And then we kind of go out into the real world, and we don't exactly know what we're striving after. And I think this is a reason why FIRE has taken off, because people have identified, oh, this is my new cheese. This is my new goal. This is what I'm striving after. There's something really powerful about that and the direction that it can give an individual.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. That clearly defined goal is massively powerful. You know, another thing the FIRE movement does incredibly well is their emphasis on lowering your spending. Like when you've identified what your net worth needs to be, or you figured out what your monthly income from investments needs to be, you realize that every dollar not spent has potential for you. Most of us float through life and we spend on a whim, but even those small spending decisions have a real impact on our savings rate. So instead of spending, pursuit of that number, right? Pursuit of achieving that FIRE number encourages cooking at home, buying much older used cars, getting credit card bonuses without accruing credit card debt, living in cheaper accommodations, right? All sorts of outside of the box ways to save that initially you might reject out of hand. But when you have this larger goal that you're looking to achieve, you're more than happy to lower your spending and do things that you maybe previously otherwise wouldn't have even considered.
That's right. And one other thing too, let's talk about what you're retiring to. You know, like we mentioned earlier, it's not just about retiring from work that you dislike, but it's more about pursuing something that is even more meaningful. You know, I think one of the best gifts that the journey to FIRE can give you is the ability to thoroughly think through what it is that you want your life to look like after you're financially independent, or maybe after you've retired early. Because once you've grasped that achievement, you're forced to realize that money and materialism, that they don't equal happiness in and of themselves. Like, there has to be something else beyond the net worth, beyond the goal of retirement. You know, we talked about this way back in the day, Joel, in episode 12, we talked about the why behind our money, because we knew even way back then when we were barely scraping by when it came to being legitimate podcasters, but we knew the importance of having something beyond our money, something beyond a number that we're saving towards. There has to be a reason that you're saving towards that amount, whether that be family, a certain lifestyle, a type of profession that you want to pursue. There's all sorts of things, and it varies from person to person, but you have to have something beyond just that number, just beyond that money goal.
Yeah, we're human, of course, right? We need that deeper connection. We need like a deeper sense of purpose and mission. And a number on a screen or in a spreadsheet just isn't going to do it for us. You kind of have to have something underlying that whole goal of FIRE that makes it worth pursuing. Or A, you're going to achieve it and not be happy. Or B, you're just going to completely flat out fail in trying to achieve it if it isn't coupled with something that's meaningful behind it, right?
Yeah, that why behind your money, those deeper goals, they're so foundational.
Yeah, Matt, so let's wrap it up. Ultimately, if you buy into the FIRE movement, but don't go too hard, we think that your desire to live a frugal life will increase. And that's good, right? I like the idea of aiming high, even if it means that there's a potential that you miss your target. As long as pursuing FIRE is done with a clearly defined goal and it's done kind of in a positive manner, I think, Matt, you and I both agree that FIRE can be pursued in a healthy way. But we typically prefer to forsake the acronym, even though it has kind of garnered a big following, in order to talk about handling money in a balanced and intentional way. Sometimes I think the whole motivation for starting a FIRE journey is because people feel like they aren't living the life they want to right now. They believe that by joining that movement, it's going to provide something that they won't be able to find elsewhere. And I understand the desire for that, right? FIRE has this ability to capture our imagination and to give us kind of this code to live by. But remember too, that balance is better than excess. And so whether you're kind of in the movement already, I know we have some listeners that are, you know, hook, line, and sinker FIRE people, whether you're somebody who's heard about it, but you don't know a whole lot about it, or whether you're somebody who's listening who for the first time is like, well, what is this thing? I think it's important for us to talk about this and talk about how a balanced and intentional approach to our finances is really, I mean, that's at the core of what this show is about. So whether you're pursuing FIRE or not, either track you're on, all of us can stand to take another look at our finances and just make sure that we're handling our money in a way that aligns with our values.
Yeah, that's right, man. And, you know, Joel, we're talking essentially about FIRE, right? Financial independence, retire early. We're talking about the pros and cons. But next week, we're going to dive more into the nuts and bolts, the mechanics of FIRE, how to go about achieving FIRE. And so you can look forward to that. If you're intrigued, if you're interested in FIRE, and you're like, well, how do you actually achieve FIRE? Like, what does that look like on paper? We're going to kind of dive more into the specifics next week. Now, Joel, let's go ahead and kick it back to the beer. This episode, we enjoyed fruit and hops on the bottom. I'm going to read what it says here on the can. It says, this is a rotationally hopped sour IPA with strawberry, banana, milk sugar, yogurt, and vanilla extract.
I know we have some brewers that listen to the show. I have no idea what rotationally hop means. So
interesting. Yeah, I've never seen that on a can or written out before either.
Me neither. So if any of our brewer friends, brewer listeners want to reach out and let me know what that means, I'm sure I could Google it
or
too.
Or you'll just look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just Google it. But yeah, no, this beer, man, was really interesting. This was a collab beer by Stillwater and Hoofhearted. And... it's hard not to laugh every time you say that. But this was a sour IPA with tons of delicious fruit inside of it. And it's official, Matt. I dig it. I kind of like these kitchen sink beers with so much stuff going on. It had strawberries and banana in there. And I feel like I got a little bit of that banana runt vibe going on. You know, the banana runts.
Oh, yeah. Those are the best ones, man. I love those as a kid.
Those are the worst ones.
Oh, no, they're the worst ones if you're raised in a communist country. Banana was the best, man.
I totally remember getting a 5-pound bag of runts one time when I was a kid. It was probably at like Costco or something like that. But
your Costco roots run deep.
You would love to see the bag that I made on the side of all the bananas that I didn't want to eat.
I would have been your best buddy.
Yeah, we could have been good buddies back then. But yeah, I really like this beer, man. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I was a fan. Immediately, it was tart and fruity. Kind of, you know, you taste some of that strawberry, some of that banana up front. And then as that fades, you kind of pick up on some of those hoppy notes. But then what I feel like I noticed the most was the aftertaste. And I felt like it reminded me of Go-Gurt. You've got kids, but you know, like that feeling you have in your mouth after you've had some yogurt?
Yeah. Oh,
specifically,
yeah.
Like fruited yogurt.
Well, there's yogurt in this beer.
Well, that's what it says.
Yeah.
And like the best way I can describe it is just... Like that feeling, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like you got to get something off your tongue.
Yeah, it's, I feel like that there's some of that milk sugar, some of that yogurt. Like you can feel it. It adds more body to this beer. It makes it a little more interesting. It's definitely not one I'm going to constantly drink, but it's a fun variant on the IPA, and I'm glad that you and I got to enjoy this one, buddy.
Yeah, man, me too. This is a great one. So, all right, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. For anybody who wants the show notes for this episode, just go to our website, howtomoney.com.
Let's say maybe you're listening to this episode, maybe on our website. Let's say somebody forwarded you the page because they thought you'd be interested. We want you to, wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, go over there and look up How to Money. And it would be great if you subscribe. That makes sure that you don't miss any episodes. And also, while you're there, if you haven't left us a review yet, we would be incredibly thankful if you did leave us a review, especially if you listen over on Apple Podcasts. So thanks in advance.
All right, buddy. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.